This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of bone circulation from the basic science section on orthobullets.com. Bone receives 5 to 10% of cardiac output. Bones that receive tenuous blood supply include the scaphoid, the talus, the femoral head, and the odontoid. Again, bones that receive tenuous blood supply include the scaphoid, talus, femoral head, and the odontoid. Blood supply to the long bones comes from three sources: the nutrient artery system, the metaphyseal epiphyseal system, and the periosteal system. Again, the blood supply to the long bones comes from three sources: the nutrient artery system, the metaphyseal epiphyseal system, and the periosteal system. Now, let's go over each of these systems in a bit more detail. The nutrient artery system is a high-pressure system that branches from major systemic arteries. The nutrient arteries enter the cortex through the nutrient foramen and enter the medullary canal. Then they branch into ascending and descending branches. Then they branch into arterioles and supply the inner two-thirds of mature bone via the Haversian system. Again, nutrient arteries branch into arterioles and supply the inner two-thirds of mature bone via the Haversian system. With respect to the metaphyseal epiphyseal system, arteries arise from the periarticular vascular plexus, for example, the geniculate arteries. Moving on to the periosteal system, this is a low-pressure system that supplies the outer one-third of bone. They are connected by Volkmann's artery, which is perpendicular to the long axis, and the Haversian system, which is parallel to the long axis. Another concept to understand is intracortical vascularization, in which intracortical vessels travel within canals. These include the primary Haversian canals and the secondary Volkmann canals. As far as the direction of arterial flow, normal intraosseous blood flow rate is 5 to 20 milliliters per minute per 100 grams of bone. With respect to mature bone, flow is centrifugal, or inside to outside, because of the high-pressure nutrient artery system and the low-pressure periosteal system. With respect to immature bone, flow is centripetal, which is outside to inside, because the low-pressure periosteal system predominates. Factors increasing blood flow include hypoxia, hypercapnia, and sympathectomy. As far as the direction of venous flow, with respect to mature bone, flow is centripetal, that is outside to inside. Cortical capillaries drain to venous sinusoids, which drain to the emissary venous system. With respect to the growth plate, the perichondrial artery is the major source of nutrition of the growth plate. This has been a tested point on previous exams, so I'll say it again. The perichondrial artery is the major source of nutrition of the growth plate. Now, let's quickly talk about pathoanatomy, specifically fractures and intramedullary nails. As far as the patterns of blood flow following a fracture, in the immediate phase, there is an initial decrease in blood flow after the fracture, and flow is centripetal, that is outside to inside, because the high-pressure nutrient artery system is disrupted and the low-pressure periosteal system predominates. In the hours to days after a fracture, there is an increase in blood flow from the regional acceleratory phenomenon. This peaks at 2 weeks and returns to normal in 3 to 5 months. As far as intramedullary nails, unreamed intramedullary nails preserve the endosteal blood supply. Reaming devascularizes the inner 50 to 80% of the cortex and delays revascularization of the endosteal blood supply. Loose-fitting nails spare the cortical perfusion and allow more rapid reperfusion. And finally, tight-fitting nails compromise cortical perfusion and reperfusion is slow. So again, unreamed intramedullary nails preserve endosteal blood supply. Reaming devascularizes the inner 50 to 80% of the cortex and delays revascularization of the endosteal blood supply. Loose-fitting nails spare the cortical perfusion and allow more rapid reperfusion. And finally, tight-fitting nails compromise cortical perfusion and reperfusion is slow. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, which of the following arteries provides the blood supply to the outer third of a long bone diaphysis? And the choices are 1, nutrient artery, 2, periosteal arterioles, 3, medullary artery, 4, emissary artery, and 5 perichondrial artery of LaCroix. The correct answer to this question is 2 periosteal arterioles. So the periosteal arterioles are part of a low-pressure system that supply the outer third of the adult diaphyseal cortex. To quickly review, blood supply to long bones come from 3 sources. 1, the nutrient artery system, 2, the metaphyseal epiphyseal system, and 3, the periosteal system. Nutrient arteries, which are part of a high-pressure system, enter the long bone diaphyseal cortex and then enter the medullary canal, where it branches into ascending and descending arteries and supplies the inner two-thirds of the diaphysis via the Haversian systems. Bong et al. Present a review article regarding intramedullary nail effects on bone healing. They report that intramedullary nails can have negative effects on endosteal and cortical blood flow, but this is offset by an increase in extraosseous circulation. During early fracture healing, blood flow is centripetal, or outside to inside, because the high-pressure nutrient artery system is often disrupted. Now let's quickly go over the incorrect answers. Answer 1, nutrient artery is incorrect, as a nutrient artery is part of a high-pressure system that branches from major systemic arteries and supplies the inner two-thirds of mature bone. Answer 3, medullary artery is incorrect, as the nutrient artery enters through the medullary canal and divides into ascending and descending arteries. Answer 4, emissary artery is incorrect, as cortical capillaries drain to the emissary venous system, and there is no described emissary artery for long bones. And finally, answer 5, perichondrial artery of LaCroix is incorrect, as the perichondrial artery is the major source of nutrition of the growth plate. And moving on to the final question, disruption of which of the following interrupts the major source of nutrients to the growth plate? And the choices are 1, diaphyseal artery, 2, metaphyseal artery, 3, perichondrial artery, 4, synovial fluid, and 5, synovial blood vessels. The correct answer to this question is 3, perichondrial artery. So blood supply to the growth plate is supplied both via the perichondrial artery, which is the main source of nutrients, and the epiphyseal artery, which supplies the proliferative zone of the growth plate. That's all for this review about bone circulation. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.